right, welcome in to a very special edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer. And it's a big week here in Las Vegas with Life is Beautiful Festival coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And since Case and I so often take these podcasts on to music tangents, we figured that we would just cut the BS, carve out a little time for ourselves, and just get in to this three-day festival going on all around downtown Las Vegas. So, Case, this is the Life is Beautiful special on the Rebel Room, which will feature likely zero or very little talk of the actual Rebels.
Yeah, I love it still at Rebel Room. This is the first of a music special and hopefully not the last, because I'm way more excited to talk about this than the Rebels. No offense, especially during football season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to next May when we have Rebel Room Punk Rock Bowling Edition.
Well, let's get into it. The Life is Beautiful Festival is the second year. Last year was 2 days. I went one day because I was out of town for work on this. It was Saturday, Sunday last year.
We both were only there Sunday because okay. I coached that basketball game Saturday.
Ah, that's right, yeah. And so, you know, first year I thought, considering, you know, all the things, being able to throw something together for an inaugural festival like that, I thought it was really well done. No major hitches as far as just the actual experience thing. And so, you know, this year they expanded a day, still have all of the food trucks, the chef specials, the tents with the talking. But really, I'm there for music, to see bands. And I'm pretty confident that that's the major appeal for you as well. So looking at that, when this lineup originally came out, now we have the individual day schedules and we'll get into those. But when it first came out, just the overall, you know, headliners, you see some of the secondary. Your thoughts. What did you think of kind of the top to bottom?
Well, I'm still kind of bitter. I don't want to get too into my personal issues, but Kanye was the thing that just stood out the biggest to me because I love Kanye West. I think he's probably the most prolific current mainstream artist there is. So I thought that was a huge get. And really, just not even looking at it selfishly, just as a whole, and I'm kind of stealing this idea from someone else that's probably sitting a couple chairs away from us. I don't know if he wants his name revealed, but I thought they did just a great job with the headliners. I mean, to appeal to a lot of people, I think out of like the three really big headliners that are closing every day, Kanye, Outkast, and the Foo Fighters, I mean, there's a ton of people that you're going to get for that. But at the same time, I kind of feel like they might have trying to think of a good way to put this, not graphic. I feel like they may have spent a little too much of their budget on those three. I feel like for a three-day festival for as many bands as you have, I think it's a little bit weaker down the lineup than you look compared to other three-day festivals. But, I mean, it's understandable. I just think a big, big part of the budget had to have gone to getting those three acts. And then, I guess, Skrillex, too.
Yeah.
It's not cheap.
And let's talk about the headliners, first of all. And you're bitter about Kanye because you're going Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I cannot be there Friday night. And, of course, soon as they announced the lineup, I knew it was going to be Kanye one night, Outkast one night, and Foo Fighters other night, of course. And I was just hoping so bad Kanye wasn't Friday.
Who would you, if Foo Fighters were Friday, was that the ideal scenario?
Yeah,
that?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely the ideal scenario, actually.
Have you seen any of them live?
I saw Kanye almost a year to the day of this. He came with the Yeezus tour to MGM last year, so at least I got to see that. I saw the Foo Fighters in 1999, the arena tour with the co-headlining Red Hot Chili Peppers. Kind of cool looking back, because they're a much bigger deal now even than they were then. And never seen Outkast, so Outkast I'm looking forward to. I guess since I can only see two of the headliners, that would be my de facto pick for best headliner, or most anticipated.
I mean, Outkast will be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I've heard from people who've seen them on the festival circuit that it was just underwhelming, I think. I'm not sure how it plays. There are Outkast fans, and since, you know, these have been, you know, I guess for what, the past 6 months or so, these have been the first shows that they've done in more than a decade. And so there's, like, legit, you know, very in-depth Outkast fans that have been waiting for it for a long time. And then at a festival, you get just a bunch of dopes standing around, too. And it does, and the on-stage presence, you know, didn't seem to always be there. I just don't feel like it's the ideal audience to see an Outkast show. And so I'm kind of curious how that environment's going to be. That's the headliner Saturday night.
Right. I read those reviews too, and I know they got a little bit of criticism for their Coachella performance back in April, their first show back. They're just kind of disconnected. They had their back to the crowd. Or maybe it was only Andre 3000. One of them had their back to the crowd.
Yeah, I think Andre was kind
of... The part that worries me about that, if they were disconnected and not really feeling it then, now they have played every festival in America for like 6 months.
What
they've
is
headlined
their left?
Every festival. How? I mean, if they were already not feeling it at the beginning, this might be... This could go down as a disaster. I don't think so. I'm looking forward to seeing... Outkast, but that is, I think, a valid concern.
Yeah. So Friday night, Kanye West is the main one at the end. I'm excited for that because I went to the only other festival, really, that I've been. Because last year for Life is Beautiful, I was only here for a day. The only multi-day one I've been to was Governor's Ball out in New York last year. And Kanye was the headliner on the main stage the final night, but I instead went over to Avett Brothers because that's where my friends were. And honestly, I enjoyed that show quite a bit, but I'm glad I get another chance at Kanye because I was trying to, you know, through the festival, like, peek over and see what his spectacle was going on there. So that's your headliners. The ones going up against them. Panic at the Disco is going to get crushed by Kanye. Flaming Lips, I don't know. I think they might do okay against Outkast because
that's kind of two different crowds.
Yeah, exactly. They've got a big enough of an audience and it's different that you could get there. And they're just known for their live shows too.
Yeah.
And so that's where you could really get people just looking for spectacle. And Skrillex, Foo Fighters, again, kind of two completely different things. Wrapping it up on Sunday night. So looking at the individual day schedules here, starting with Friday, I asked you to find the one show, and I know you won't be there on this particular day, but the one show, excluding the headliners, that you absolutely have to get to. All right, what is it?
Well, this was the last band added, and I wasn't going to go Friday at all, but I have a three-day pass through free somehow. My wife won one, so I might go just before I have to work at night because I want to see Vacationer playing at 4:30. I think the last band added, it's Kenny Vasoli from the Starting Line fame. He started this more like chill electronic project probably 5 years ago now. They put out a new record this year, which I can't even remember the name now. I came really prepared. But it's really good, just really, like I said, chilled out, good stuff. So I'd probably say Vacationer if I have to pick one not a headliner.
Chilled out is not what I think of for you.
I listen to everything, honestly.
You do.
I mean,
that's true. But you're...
It's not my favorite, but, you know, I still have, like, really strong roots in kind of the whole punk rock community, whether it be hardcore or pop punk or whatever. So if there's a guy that's, like, was pretty prolific in that output, which I'd say Kenny Vasoli, at least really well-known there, I'll listen to his new stuff, and I think this is actually really good.
Yeah. And they're going up against, I don't know if it's ASTR or if they have a name for that acronym, but I know one of their songs, Operate, same kind of like sort of a chill vibe, but getting a little dancey electro in some of their stuff. Those are dueling stages. That's one I'm interested in. The first show of the day, well, I guess it's not technically first, but one of the first, starting at 2:10 in the afternoon, one of our colleagues, Tovin LePan, let me know about Milky Chance, has at least one song called, so it's Milky Chance Stolen Dance that I think is worth going early. I'm going to check them out and see how it goes. But on Friday, I think overall, we would probably agree the weakest overall schedule, which I think makes sense because that's the day a lot of people are going to be at work. Even if you have three-day passes, it's not as easy to get to and post up. You know, Saturday is going to be your main day, and then Sunday, just because it's the weekend, I think you're going to put a little more. So overall, not a ton, not as much going on. I kind of copped out and just went with Girl Talk on this. I've heard from a lot of people who've seen him in the last few years, and as Greg Gillis, you know, make chopped up music, live show, varies between playing the songs kind of as they are on the album with mixing it live and doing that stuff. It's a complete dance party. It's a lot of fun. Some people that I know have seen him more recently, I think, are getting kind of tired of it.
I was at the lineup reveal party,
and that's where he played at at Brooklyn Bowl,
Brooklyn
when they announced the lineup. Just for this,
totally 100% not my thing, but I mean, he had a lot of energy, and I wouldn't fault it. I would never go out of my way to see him, so he would like wouldn't be on my list, but for what he does, I mean,
yeah,
I don't
and
think
he,
there's a lot of
gets,
other people
he
doing
gets
that.
Super into it. He's usually stripped down to his boxers by the end, dancing with kids he invites up on stage, and just just getting after it. He's always having a lot of fun. I enjoy the albums. Other stuff going on Friday. The Weeknd, I might go over and try and check out. Head in the Heart, maybe catch a little bit. But I really did not like their sophomore album. The first one I loved. The second one just got even slower, which I don't think they could afford there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even that big on that band, but just kind of a sign of how weak I think Friday is. They would probably be like number three to me.
Yeah, they're like the 950, so the second to last, last show before the headliners. And that's not really where they should be. Switchfoot, 710, 720 to 810. Some people sneak into that one.
Yeah, Ginny Lewis might be kind of cool. I'm not a huge fan, but I would definitely be watching her if I was there Friday night. And then I still have never listened to the album, but I went to some like small festival at Cosmo a few months ago because my wife loves Fantagram, and they put on a really good show. Actually, it sounded really good. I got the album and then never listened to it. But
yeah, that's
good,
one of the
live, at least
one of the earlier shows. Fantagram been getting a lot of play on the radio, so you'll definitely recognize a couple of the songs, I think. And it sets up pretty well. So I'll say, you know, you can go from Milky Chance, give yourself a little time to go get some food, then either Vacationer or ASTR, hit Fantagram, Girl Talk, Jenny Lewis, Neon Trees for a bit, Head in the Heart, and then go get yourself settled in for Kanye. That's your Friday right there. Saturday's lineup, significantly better. I think we can say.
Yeah, I think Saturday is the best. I know you might be picking
Sunday, and that's something I kind of want to talk about. Saturday, when I first was looking at them, is definitely the best, I thought. You know, The Roots, Lionel Richie, for some reason thrown in, OK Go, Fits in the Tantrums, Alt-J, Matt and Kim, Flaming Lips, and Outkast going up at the end, TV on the Radio. There's a lot going on. And one of the bands there I mentioned, Alt-J, is my can't miss for the day. I've seen them, I guess only once, sadly. It was out in New York for that festival. It was probably my favorite show of the whole 3 days. Their second album came out, you know, a little while ago. You and I have emailed about it. There's some stuff on it I really like, some that I might hate, but I think it was a decent follow-up, and the only people disappointed in it are people who were comparing them to, what, the Flaming Lips beforehand, or was it even worse than that? I think it might have been
Radiohead?
Yeah, it was Radiohead,
okay,
wasn't it?
Oh, I was wondering if you were referencing the review I sent you.
Yes, I was. Yeah, if you compare them to Radiohead, you're probably going to be disappointed.
The Pitchfork
like Radiohead production all the time.
Oh, I really like Ian Cohen at Pitchfork for the most part. He reviews a lot of stuff, like I said, from the punk community that Pitchfork usually doesn't give the time of day. So I pretty much read everything he writes, and when he wrote the Alt-J thing, I thought of you immediately. Which I don't really have any context with that band, so I don't know if it's total. Yeah. You say it's total garbage, so I'll side
I think
with
it's
you.
Garbage because he set the standard so stupidly high that then, of course they were going to fail. Look, their first album, people went a little nuts over it, but it is really freaking good. And the second album has some really good stuff on there. One of their singles, Every Other Freckle, might be one of my least favorite songs ever.
That song is all. I've only listened to the album once, but that song is really bad.
It's bad. But Left Hand Free is good. Those are kind of the two singles off of it. And I found some stuff a little deeper that I enjoy. Plus, they'll be playing Breeze Blocks and some other stuff from the first album. So that's my can't miss one. That's the 9:05, basically 9 to 10 o'clock. Saturday night. What's your? Where are you going to be posted up Saturday for sure?
This was between two. It was really close, but I'm going to go with one that I know you won't scoff at. The entrance music for this. I'm excited to see Bare Hands.
Give
at
me some Bare Hands.
If you would have made me like have a list of bands I wanted to see at the Life Is Beautiful before they announced the lineup, I think they would have been one I thought fit in well with the whole vibe and was a good chance to be announced. I was disappointed when they weren't. I don't think anyone I really wanted to see on the festival was announced, even though I wasn't expecting Kanye. But then they got announced like a month later with the new wave. And I was pretty excited for that because I really like their new album that came out, Distraction, I think in February or March. Yeah. And last time they were here, I would have gone. But I know you went when they played.
Well, I ended up. I had something else come
up
then, unfortunately.
Well, you were planning on going at Triple B.
Yeah, it was a show at Triple B.
I think I was. I can't remember what else it was that night. It might have been Kendrick Lamar or something, but I was at another show. So I'm excited to see them. I'd probably put them first, but Tycho is a close second.
I don't know anything about Tycho.
Really, I guess, honestly, I didn't know anything other than the name. And I go to FYF Fest, I think, four straight years now, and I was just going to the restroom at FYFS, and I heard like this awesome sound, and I kind of chased it down, and I watched like 10 minutes of Tycho, and it was just awesome. It's really electronic-y, and I guess it was more like techno at the beginning, but a lot of like post-rock now, so it's kind of like post-rock mixed with some electronic stuff, and just had amazing visuals. So I watched the end of his set at FYF and wanted to see him again. So I guess I'm going to have the chance here. But it's a little bit weird. 545, I think, like I said, they have such cool
is it better as like a video later stuff. Show?
I would think it needs to be at night.
Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed with the timing. So I guess for that, I'll go bare hands over them. It's not gonna. What time does it get dark now? I have no idea.
6:30 or 7?
Yeah, exactly. So this guy is going to be playing in the day, and that doesn't make sense.
And I'm sure, you know, when they put together a festival, there are going to be bands that are just squeezed out of what they would normally, of the type of show that they would normally put on. And so that's just kind of the way it goes. I'm now interested to check them out just based on your selling point there. Bare Hands. When I lived in Phoenix, I went to a show, tiny venue, to see We Were Promised Jetpacks, and Bare Hands was one of the two openers. And I just fell in love with that first album. And then when I started hearing the new single that we played for you off the top there, on radio, I was, because all I heard, the, you know, the first lines are Rock Chalk Shot of Jayhawk.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, what's with this Kansas or possibly Missouri band? Why are we shooting Jayhawks here? But they're from Brooklyn. Uh-huh. I think they just liked the phrase. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I tried to look that up too and find something out about it, but I couldn't. I
think we need to wear Kansas gear on Saturday. And yeah. It's an early show. It's 3:30. And then we can go try and flag them down afterward and be like, hey, what's the deal?
Yeah. I'm sure there's got to be something behind it. I just, I'm surprised. I guess that song's playing on the radio. I don't know. I love the album. I feel like it should be getting more acclaim or more people talking about it than it should. But I've just kind of been confused by the strategy. I saw, like, speaking of Kansas, in Kansas City, they were playing, like, some big radio festival with, like, the 1975. And then I looked at their tour dates. I think this was the summer. And they were just playing a lot of things where I feel like they don't really fit in. So I think this will be a better environment for them. I think that they should probably be a little bit bigger than they are right now.
Yeah. I feel like they've actually been getting pushed quite a bit locally, at least through 107.5. I know that's where I had heard their single a while ago, and I feel like that station has been pimping them a lot over the last 6 months or so. One of the early bands, Paper Route, I know nothing about, but based on name only, I feel like I need to go check it out because I was a paper boy for like 7 years. Some of the other good ones I mentioned earlier, Fits in the Tantrums, The Roots, TV on the Radio, Matt and Kim. I like their live shows. I think I've probably seen them enough that I won't, you know, go out of my way to go over and check that out. But if you haven't seen them before,
I have not.
It's not great music, but those two just have a lot of fun on stage. It's bouncy, catchy stuff. I like their albums. Overall, it's nothing too advanced, but I think that's just a really good time, and that gets you set up for Outkast heading into the night there. Sunday, the final day. Again, everything starts at basically 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I know you and I on Sunday are probably going to be it depends on what the early afternoon or the second games look like. I'll be posted up somewhere at 10 o'clock to watch football, assuming I can drag myself out of bed. I might actually just lay around.
How about this? I can't believe I just noticed this when we were talking. Outkast ends at 12:35. There is a 6:30 a.m. NFL game on Sunday.
Wait,
from
what?
London, the Falcons-Lions, and I was planning on waking up for it.
Why isn't that at a normal time?
I guess they want to actually cater to the London folks.
Not getting up for that.
I was planning on getting up, and now I see it doesn't end until 12:35. I'm probably not going to be
actually ends at that time.
Yeah, so that's a little rough, but I'm definitely at least watching the morning NFL games before I get down to downtown for Life is Beautiful day 3.
I agree entirely. All right, day 3, what's your one? Where are you going?
Oof, now I can't remember who I was going to go with. I'm really not that huge on this day, to be honest.
Man, I could give you like 3 ones that you just have to be at and still be able to have one for myself.
I guess that I'm probably going to go with Broken Bells, who they had a new album come out early this year that I listened to quite a bit for a couple weeks. Thought it was really cool. Had some different sounding stuff on there. So I guess I'm going to pick them. But like I said, there's nothing like really that can't miss to me. I guess I'll walk around and check out some different stuff. I'm also disappointed they play at the same time as Trampled by Turtles, who very possibly could be the second band I would most want to see on this day.
One of the best names for a band of any of the...
Not fitting at all. Like, I never think they'd sound like they sounded like by calling Trampled by Turtles.
But I just love it.
Yeah, it's good.
The one I picked, because I've really been getting into these guys lately, is Arctic Monkeys. And that's... Look, they've been around... I don't even know how to categorize. I don't know what Arctic Monkeys are. Because I've known about them for a long time. I've had some stuff. But I've really only in the last, like, 3 or 4 months, probably even, like, 2 months, really gotten into them. And it's, like, deep dives on YouTube where I look at them basically as kids just kind of shabbily dressed, playing their guitars as fast as possible. And then now you look and he's, like, a rockabilly... leather jacket. He had all that going, and now it's like suits and swap. Like, I don't know what they are, but every kind of stage of their career has produced really good music. I think, you know, like from Fluorescent Adolescent, You Look Good on the Dance Floor, which was our lead off to the regular Rebel Room yesterday.
Remember that.
And just getting into, you know, obviously the stuff off of the new album that, you know, blew them up. Do I Want to Know? And then You Only Call Me When You're High. So that's the one absolutely going to be posted up for. I'll probably go to Broken Bells, which is on that main stage before them, and then hang around for 40 minutes. Although, the problem with that is, from 5 o'clock on Sunday is, I think, the absolute best time for this entire festival. If you started off with Tune Yards, 5 o'clock, Cheryl, who basically is Tune Yards, she has some other musicians there and some travel people, but the album that came out in, I want to say, like 2010, 2011 or so, is still just phenomenal from her. It's so strange. She loops everything, and so it's just kind of making the songs as she goes, plays ukulele, has a bunch of different stuff, just a very eclectic, dancey, really catchy stuff, and she's going to wear something weird. It's just a fun show to be at, and I've never seen them, so that's one I'm going to make sure I hit up. St. Paul and the Broken Bones is a band I only fell into like 2 weeks ago, I think, on a late night YouTube dive when I was looking for, and also a recommendation for anyone just looking for new music, good live performances, a takeaway show, which is this guy in Paris who basically every time bands come through, he'll just grab them, has them play outside of the Eiffel Tower, has them playing on city bus, just walking around playing in bars. That's where I saw St. Paul and Broken Bones, and it's like a revival type music. The guy, you just have to hear and see this lead singer to really believe him, but the guy just has absolute pipes, a soul man through and through. I think that looks like a lot of fun. And then St. Lucia, right after Arctic Monkeys, before you head into the headliners. And actually, because I don't really care about Foo Fighters or Skrillex, St. Lucia is probably going to be the cap for me. I saw them out in New York, and they've had an album come out since then. I think at the time it was only the EP, but just a lot of good stuff, kind of pop, indie pop stuff, catchy, just kind of upbeat, bouncing around a bit, but really, really good sound. And man, yeah, that's, I'm so excited for Sunday night.
Do we have to stick the two Saints back to back? It's like a papacy around here. The Saints are going to be playing Sunday Night Football at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I feel bad for Isaiah Austin and his overcoming it all learning segment, because I'm going to be over at Broken Bells. I'm not messing around.
Wow, Isaiah Austin overcoming it all. I had no idea.
Which, by the way, let's make this sports for a second. Isaiah Austin getting a lot of run out of having a disease that is not going to cost him any money long term now. I feel like he's being put up like as a hero. I felt bad for the kid, just like everybody else did, but he has been so overwhelmingly like supported and picked up by the NBA. Dude's fine. You know? Like he's great. Mm-hmm. His life's gonna be just fine. It's not the life that he had envisioned, but he's gonna be doing just fine. So I don't want anybody – I would be interested to hear what he has to say, I suppose, but nobody should be feeling bad for Isaiah Austin at this point. Is that too much?
That's fair. I'm so stunned. I hadn't looked at the speakers once until right now.
Well, the one on Friday, that's going to be absolutely the biggest is the Pussy Riot.
Yeah, that was actually a big deal. They had I was at Riot Fest in Chicago, and when they announced that with the original lineup, it was a huge deal. But it was at a bad time. I didn't see any of it. So now I would have liked to have seen maybe some of it Friday. I think the video's online from Riot Fest in Chicago, but I wouldn't watch it over vacationer, so probably won't be at that either.
Yeah. So we agree that Bare Hands probably I think considering how early it is and how relatively unknown they are, that's your sort of under the radar pick from us. It's the 3:30 on Saturday, could be one of my favorite shows of the entire weekend. But enough about what's actually happening. Who do you want to see? Okay, so if we could add, let's say you get to add three bands to this extensive list here, and you know you can go anywhere with it. Punk, you know, stuff that fits sort of the overall genre kind of thing. Something that's more hardcore. Who do you want to see?
Well, I think with a festival this long, you could have a little more variety. And it seems like every year both the last 2 years, and now I can't remember who it was 2 years ago. This year they have Panic at the Disco, so they're trying to like cater to maybe a little bit more of like the pop punk or punkish communities. But Panic at the Disco is terrible. I think if they could do that, they could actually get like a good band. But I know Panic at the Disco is from here, so that's a big.
They're from here?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
They were like Bishop Gorman students. When,
really?
Yeah, wow. When Pete Wentz discovered them online. So they basically paid no dues. So they barely even played any shows.
Did he write those sins at Bishop Gorman?
I think so. I think was that right when they got big? I've always hated Panic at the Disco, so I don't even know. Like, literally one of my least favorite bands in the world. But they were like 17 and just like writing songs they posted online, weren't even playing shows. I'm like, oh, here's $1 million. So I knew our
Panic
record
at the
label.
Disco, and I think that I have the one that's I Write Sins, Not Tragedies. That's the about the wedding. That
yeah, someone, yeah.
That's wow. Those kids went to Gorman.
Yeah, well,
I
now
had
it's
idea.
I know there's been a bunch of band drama.
Kids,
now it's pretty much
older than me.
No. That we were in college when the
no
the,
we weren't.
Yeah, we were. Brendan Urie, I know, was the main guy. I think he's kicked everyone else out. There's been a bunch of drama. I'm pretty sure he was 17. When their first album came out, when they first started getting big.
I'm about to get really depressed about how old I am.
But anyways, back to my original point.
Came out in 2006.
Okay, so, I was in college, I know for sure.
Yeah, I was a senior in high
school. Yeah, because I remember freshman year, they were like, they came to Lawrence, where we went to school at Kansas, and people were just freaking out, and I'm a lot more open-minded now, but back then, I just wanted to... I couldn't believe how many people on campus were talking about freaking Panic at the Disco, who I couldn't stand. But anyways, I just think if you want to break in a little bit to that market, you could at least get some bands that are doing something good, probably for cheaper and better. Like the Gaslight Anthem just put out a new album that I think is not great, but pretty solid. I would like to see them like in a slot where Panic at the Disco is. I thought that would be cool. And just some bands that are from closer... I just feel like bands from that world don't get the credit they deserve. You might not have heard of them, but a band that put out a record this year, Sea Haven, literally one of the best albums I've heard all year. They're from Torrance. They could make it here easily. I would love to see a band like that get a chance to play a bigger festival like that. I think they would fit in perfectly, but I think they're kind of just shut out because of the community they come from, which isn't fair. So Sea Haven, as far as bigger bands that I would have really liked to see and was crossing my fingers for, the biggest like star right now that's playing quite a few festivals that I thought really would have a chance that I'm dying to see is Lana Del Rey, who I'm absolutely obsessed with.
Really?
Yes. Oh, both her albums are just amazing.
Are they?
Oh, I love her.
I feel
so
like
we'll get in a fight if you're not into.
Well, I've barely gotten into the music because I can't make it past the online discussion. Like Lana Del Rey, in the same way of Lorde, is just overly discussed to the point that I forget that she actually makes music, that's what it was.
I guess
it's always
I'm just not...
is Lorde a problem? Is Lana Del Rey a problem?
Yeah,
is she, and a lot of the discussions are, is she actually any good whatsoever?
I pretty much don't pay attention to any of that stuff and just go straight. I just think both those albums are incredible. I love her voice is so good. And from what I know, she writes the vast majority of her stuff, which is a big sticking point for me. I just, that would have been my number one. I would have, like, if Lana Del Rey and Kanye West were playing on the same night, I probably could have gotten the night off anyway, but I probably just would have quit if I couldn't have gone to see them back to back. Other headliners, just real quick. I was kind of hoping the War on Drugs maybe were on this. I know they've been on some festivals. I love their new album, which seems to be a trend of everyone I'm throwing out here. But I almost went to see them in L.A. and backed out at the last minute. So I really would like to see them. And then the last one that I know you'll probably agree with that I thought would have been a good headliner is someone I saw at Riot Fest was one of the best sets. The National, they showed up late.
Ooh, yeah.
They like got stuck in Calgary or Winnipeg or something, and Riot Fest had like send a plane to come get them. They showed up like 20 minutes late. Come on, and I thought just like absolutely killed it. But it made you like so hungry for more because people are walking out like, oh, they didn't play this, they didn't play this. But Riot Fest was at Humboldt Park, which is like had a really strict curfew, so they couldn't really play late. So it just made me like hungry for more. I really wish that they could have been one of the headliners.
That would have pushed this festival way over the top for me. I love the National. Another going off the board with a headliner that I would have liked to see. Well, not completely off the board with this one. Black Keys is one that I would have been fine if that was added because I've yet to see them live. But what I just realized like yesterday is that AC/DC is coming out with a new album. If we could have gotten some AC/DC there, because I've only seen them once live. I was like 13, and it was like a revolutionary experience. I think a lot of that had to do with age. Going into that concert, I didn't know what pot smelled like, and I had never seen that many pairs of breasts in my life before. But I think that would be fun.
That's probably one of the only bands that could be more expensive than what they
got.
Yeah,
that would definitely be.
Be over the top.
But kind of some smaller ones. This is completely unrealistic, but if after Broken Bells, Danger Mouse could have just stuck around and MF Doom comes out, because those two put out an album a while ago. It was probably like when we were in high school, maybe. Danger Doom, that I think is just phenomenal. It was like all Adult Swim themed songs, but just really good stuff. I thought that would have been kind of a fun, different sort of thing there. And you've already got Danger Mouse on stage. And then it was mostly just kind of, you know, other bands that have been through recently that I just missed, like Cold War Kids. I know they have an album coming out again. I just missed the Atmosphere show. I'd take him again, or Portugal the Man, just sort of the mid-level to high acts that just haven't been able to catch.
Yeah, I like quite a few of those you mentioned. I'm not even really a fan of, but I like them. I just feel like that would have been something different, a lot of your suggestions. I feel like this lineup, and I'm not complaining, I think Life is Beautiful is a great thing. I hope it lasts here in Vegas, but I felt like the lineup as a whole, maybe I should have said this at the beginning, and I feel like it was just a little safe. It's pretty much what, I mean, there's nothing here that's real. Maybe Lionel Richie, I guess.
How did that get in there?
I guess...
is it like a buy Kanye an Outkast, you get Lionel Richie for free?
I guess he played Bonnaroo maybe this year or 2 years ago. And Bonnaroo, I'd say still them and Coachella are really like the trendsetters for festivals. So even why I'm saying it was a little bit of a risk, I still feel like it was somewhat safe. So I think I even read a quote where Rayhan, the guy who
Rayhan
curates, and I don't remember his last name, Chowdhury or something. I think I read that he was thought it was so cool that they played Bonnaroo, and then that's why they included them. I would just like to see maybe Life is Beautiful do something outside the box and be the trendsetters. And, you know, they're only in year two, so I'm not being critical. Just that might be something to look for down the line. It would be cool if we had something that no one was expecting like that. Because now Lionel Richie, I think this might be like his at least a second with Bonnaroo, might have done some others. So I think that the standard was kind of set, but it is a little bit strange.
It'll be interesting just stage presence-wise what they do. I know they've got the Vegas Philharmonic is performing with members of the Beatles Love Cirque show, but that's like an afternoon thing on Sunday. Imagine Dragons last year was the closer for the first night, so I didn't see it, but I think they had a bunch of Cirque people up on stage playing like the giant drum, so maybe it was guys from Ka.
Yeah, that's why I was actually disappointed I missed Saturday, because I love Cirque this.
Yeah, and so I feel like in Vegas, one of these kind of headliners or something is going to be added, either with Cirque, with something, Showgirls, you know, whatever. Just kind of add to the show, the spectacle that makes it, you know, unique to hear. But I agree with you that, you know, could have taken some more risks.
Is Dave Grohl's self-importance not enough of a spectacle?
Well, I'm not sticking around for it.
Okay,
so.
A good point.
That's as good a note to end on as any. Can't wait for this to get going. if any of you see us out there, I'm the giant, tall, skinny guy.
I'll have an X Watch on and probably some hardcore shirt. Yes. The only person there. Now, internet.
Are you going to wear your Bane jersey? Or is that a...
I think it's a hoodie.
Okay.
And
that's probably not going to work.
Yeah, that's probably not going to work. My final thought is leave Lana alone to the internet. Now that you've told me this is such a debate.
Well, ridiculous. I don't know if it even
leave
is
her
anymore.
Alone. Oh, I know it was at first because... Oh, her dad has all this money, and she changed her name, and blah, blah, blah. Whatever. It's good stuff. Leave her alone.
It probably doesn't help me that before I ever heard a Lana Del Rey song, I saw a parody of video games that was Hunger Games.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, all I can think of when I see her is just this girl in her room, like, making fun of Lana Del Rey. But it also I had not seen Hunger Games at that point. It was very informative. So that person, credit to you. Video games, though, as a song, kind of sucks.
There you go. Not one of my... I don't dislike it, but not one of my... It would not even be in my top 15 to 20 Lana Del Rey songs.
Okay,
she has like 30.
I didn't know she even had 15.
She has two albums, but with all like the bonus tracks, I bet it's about like 35
songs. Oh, well,
songs.
Yeah, the bonus tracks. Yeah.
Oh, one of the bonus tracks is like one of her best songs, too. I hate when bands do that. Why do you put why can't you find a sequencing or a place to put in a great song instead of making a bonus track? It just... ruins the situation.
I'm with you. All right. I need to go educate myself on some Lana Del Rey and Vacationer and Tycho and a couple others, getting myself ready for Life is Beautiful. Come and say hi to us. Go enjoy the shows yourself. Hopefully a bunch of you are going to be able to go. Hopefully you listen to this. I don't know if anybody's going to make it to the end of this 36 minutes of you and I talking about music. I don't think even your wife would put up with that.
Oh, she will.
she's not going to have a choice.
And we're going to have another one at some point. I'm already saying, even if it's just me sitting here as you've bailed.
Oh, no, I won't bail. Okay, I will come in here and talk about this with you anytime you want, sir. All right, for Case, I am Taylor. Enjoy the festival. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.